Adoption, then, has a Trinitarian reference point that I want to lay before you. It is of great importance. First of all, the act of adoption is rooted also in election. It's decreed from all eternity by the Heavenly Father. In the Roman world, which is the background in the midst of which 1 John is written, adoption usually didn't take place in infancy, but in adolescence, sometimes in adulthood. Adoption in New Testament times literally was usually an act by a family who graciously chose someone entirely outside their family, didn't have the blood and the nature of the family, and they made that person a full member of their family in order to have an heir for their inheritance. In other words, most adoptions that were made for the fact that there was no male child. And they would bring in a male adolescent from some other culture and train him as a teenager to be part of the family, and then he would take over the inheritance. Well, what John is saying is that we are chosen sons as believers, chosen sons of God the Father. He chooses us from the alien culture of sin and Satan. He sets his heart upon us while we are strangers and rebels, no members of his family. He calls us, draws us to himself, brings us into his family, constitutes us to be his child, and now he reserves for us the everlasting inheritance of the kingdom of God. This is what we now are, John says. Behold, what manner of love, that we are now the sons of God. This is incredible reality, no mere legal fiction. And then secondly, the basis of adoption, of course, is rooted in the propitiation of the brotherly Son of God. Herein is love, John goes on to say, 1 John 4, verse 10, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You see, we aren't children of God by nature, but Christ becomes our propitiation, God's propitiation. Propitiation means a sacrifice on which the wrath of a holy God is poured out. And so the ground of adoption is simply this, that God, instead of pouring out his wrath upon us, pours out his wrath upon his Son and gives us the love that he gave to his Son. So we, the sons of wrath, for Christ's sake, for propitiation's sake, become the sons of love. We become children of his glory. And then thirdly, I should add to that, that because we are propitiated brothers of Jesus Christ, we, with Christ, being children of the same Father, are brothers of him. This brotherhood is not a brotherhood of equality. He's the elder brother. He's a special brother. He's the covenant head brother. But there is a real brotherhood. We are heirs and co-heirs with Christ. By adoption, we are brothers together with Jesus in our service of the Father in heaven. Jesus is unique brother. We are many brethren. He's ontological brother. We're adopted brothers. But we are brothers. He holds a position of primacy. He is the heir, preeminently. But we are joint heirs. And so, in subordination to him, we serve the same Father. And then in adoption, there is, of course, the important role of the Holy Spirit witnessing with our spirit that we are the children of God. We become conscious of our adoption by this Spirit. We are adopted, of course, from God's side, from the very moment of regeneration, when we're transferred from darkness to life. But this adoption needs to be worked out by the Spirit in our soul. The status of adoption is given in regeneration from God's side. But we, as newborn babes, lack the nature of the adoptive parents, the adoptive parent, God himself. You see, when a parent adopts a child, then he cannot give his nature to that child. The child has the nature of his natural parentage, but what God is saying in adoption is that he does something absolutely unfathomable. He not only gives us the status and privileges of being his children, but he also plants the godly nature in us. He gives us the nature of being belonging to his family. 1 John 3, verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That is, no one born of God goes on committing sin, for seed remaineth in him. That is, God's nature abides in him. How can God's nature come to abide in me? Well, only by the new birth, and only by the actual life of sanctification as it's lived out. And so, I have the nature of being a son, I have an adoptive right to be a son, I've got the status of being a son, and the Holy Spirit works out that sonship through sanctification, that I may show that sonship in my life.